Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.
Greetings, saints. You have done well to connect to the study of the life of David. We continue this week to chapter number 3 as we look at David's wilderness season. Last week, we were looking at chapter 2, lesson number 3, when we saw David escape to Nob after he was fleeing from Saul, having met with Jonathan, and Jonathan had released him to go with a blessing after they had covenanted between their two houses. He gets to Nob where the priest Ahimelech was. This is where the tabernacle was, and it dwelled during the days of Saul, since Saul had not gone to collect the Ark of the Covenant. Where it was, the tabernacle was just there, and the priest would minister daily sacrifices at the tabernacle. Now, here David arrives and he asks for food because he and his men were hungry. And though Ahimelech was suspicious at first, he tells him that only bread that he has is the bread, the show bread, which was the holy bread for priests. And David asked for that one and he eats of it. And we saw there that David operated also in a priesthood office, but not the order of Levi, but the order of Melchizedek. That's why he had a triple anointing as a king, prophet, and also as a priest. He then leaves that place, but when he leaves, he has been discovered by a certain Idumite who sees him, and he is given the sword of Goliath by the priest Ahimelech, and he leaves. He goes to flee to Gath, Philistine enemy territory, and he's trying to find refuge there. For whatever reason, he thought he might be safe there, but he discovers that he has put himself into danger. He then pretends to be a mentally disturbed man, and they then release him to go away. And he uses his survival tactics to escape from the enemy territory. So that is where we left it last week. Now we continue to lesson 3 now, which begins in chapter 3, which begins with lesson 1, David at the cave of Adullam and Saul's barbaric anger. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter number 22, where I'm going to do an overview, that is in 3 segmentations. Then we'll look at 5 lessons that we learn from this chapter. So get your notebook, get your Bible. Let's get ready to learn and be blessed by the word of God. Now, verse 1 to verse 2, there we see David having departed from Gath, where he fled from the Philistines. He escaped to the cave at Adullam, where he goes with his brethren, and when all his brethren, his brothers and his father's house heard about it, they came to where he was. So when he flees to this cave, his family comes and joins him in this cave to give him support and to stand with him. But there's also a group of people that come to join him here at the cave of Adullam. And the Bible records these people, and it's a kind of people that usually you'd not want to be associated with. But these are the guys that came and joined David at the cave of Adullam. Now, verse 2 of chapter 22 says, everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there with him were about 400 men. Now you see here that men here that I call the 3D men, these were in distress, in debt, and were discontented. Oh, what a kind of men that you don't really want to be associated with. These are men that are in trouble. Debt collectors are looking for them. They are distressed. They have no motivation. They are discontented. They are people who have wounds, offenses. They are people who are angry. But these are the men that come to David, and they join themselves unto him. And the Bible says they were about 400 men. So this is what transpires at the cave of Adullam. First, his family comes and joins him, offers him moral support, But secondly, there's a group of men that comes, the 3D men, and they come and they join themselves unto him, and he becomes captain over these men. But later in our study, you see that these men will be transformed. Now, the second section, David secures refuge for his family. Now, David understood that it will not be safe for his family to travel with him. They might be caught in the crossfire as Saul was pursuing him. He would also pursue his family. So he decides to go to Mizpah of Moab, and he goes to meet with the king of Moab there. And he takes his father, and he asks for him to take in his father and mother so that they may stay put with him. Verse 4 says, and he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. So while David was in the wilderness fleeing from Saul, he secured refuge for his parents. He was concerned about their welfare. Now, this segment ends with verse 5, where the prophet comes to David. This is prophet God, and he ministers a word unto David. Abide not in this hold. That's verse number 5. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. So you see here David makes receives a word from the prophet, and it is a word that is taking him out from the place where he's hiding, and that was the cave of Adullam, and he's told to flee. And David, who is a man who understands that God speaks, honors this word, and he begins or flees from that place and moves to another place called Hereth, and that is where he goes to hide after the prophetic word. He took action. It's always important that when you receive a prophetic word, take action according to the word, especially if it is a word from God. Now, the third section, section C here, Saul orders the killing of the priests. This was a barbaric act. So Saul, in his depression and having lost the spirit of God and being tormented by evil spirit, being jealous, threatened by the rise of David, he begins to complain to his fellow men and those that were from his tribe, and he says to them, why have you conspired against me? Why are you glad and happy to see David prospering? Why have you not helped me, and you are siding with the son of Jesse? Is David going to give you land? Is David going to make you leaders? Why are you allowing this young man to go free, and you are not telling me where he's hiding? So he's beginning to vent his anger on these men that were with him, and he begins to say, why are you not supporting me? Now, he was talking to the Benjamites, because Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, and he's venting out his anger to these men, why they are not assisting him and helping him to capture David. Now, verse 8, he says that all of you have conspired against me, and there is none that showeth me that my son has made a league with the son of Jesse. There is none of you that is sorry for me, nor showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. So you see here that he says, you have not even told me that my son, Jonathan, has now made a covenant with Jesse against me. So you remember in the previous lessons how Jonathan covenanted with David, and this did not come to the knowledge of Saul, but somehow this had reached Saul, and he now knew about it, and he was venting out on his servants. But now there was this guy. In verse 9 says, then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub. Now you remember, this is the guy who saw David, and he went away. He had kept quiet, but this is the guy then who reveals the secret visit of David to Ahimelech, and where he was given bread and the bread of the priest, and how he was even given the sword of Goliath. Now when Saul hears this, he becomes furious and he becomes very angry. that the priest was hiding his enemy. So he calls immediately for Ahimelech to come to him. He summons him so that he may come. And when he comes, he says, "Why have you conspired against me and have given my enemy bread? You have fed him and you have given him the sword of Goliath." So Ahimelech said, "Is not David your servant, one of your army generals? And is this not, has he not consulted other times before? Why is it now that you are angry?" Now in verse 16, the king said, "Thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house." So in his anger, he could not listen to reason. And he pronounces that this priest Ahimelech, who was the chief priest, high priest, was to die and perish together with his household. So the king then orders his men to turn and slay the priest of the Lord. So the priest together with Ahimelech had been called from Nob, and they were at the palace. But the men that were with him refused. Now this part B of this verse 17 says, "But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord." These were wise men. They did not allow themselves to attract a case of killing the Lord's anointed, because priests were ordained and anointed of God. And he is so ordering his servants to kill the priests, but these men refuse outrightly that this we are not going to do. It's very important to understand that in service, do not take ungodly instructions. Obedience is important, but don't obey to the place of doing things that are ungodly and not in the will of God. So these men refused. And verse 18, the king said to Doeg, this is the Edomite, "Turn thou and fall upon the priest." And Doeg the Edomite turned and fell upon the priest and slew on that day 80. That's 80. So imagine this one man says 485 and 5 persons that did wear a linen effort. So 85 priests were killed in one day by a man who did not fear God. This was not a Jew, he was not an Israelite, he was an Edomite. He did not respect or honor the priesthood, and he slew 85 priests. What a shock, what a disaster, and what a curse that this man caused upon his life. Now, we see there later that one of the sons of Ahimelech escapes. Verse 20 says, "One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitab, named Abiata, escaped and fled after David." God always preserves a remnant. In any case, in any situation, whether it is death, whether it is a plague, whether it is judgment, there is always a remnant that is preserved by God. So here we see that Abiata escaped and he fled to David to seek refuge. And there he goes to David, he tells him all that had transpired and how Saul had ordered the killing of all the priests by the hand of this Edomite. And David then is almost regrets, because he says, "I knew that when I saw Doeg the Edomite, that time he was with Ahimelech, that it meant trouble." But David did not do anything about it. So this was a very dangerous thing that happened and transpired, and David was sad about it. Verse 23, he says, "Abide with me, for fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but thou with me thou shalt be in safeguard." So David offers refuge to this young priest, the son of Ahimelech, Abiata. And he says, "The one who seeks to kill you also seeks you. So I will give you refuge. I'll be your safeguard." And David gives protection to the priest of the living God. What a blessing. Now, we just want to look at five lessons that we draw from chapter number 22. Now, the first lesson is, in life, you go through a wilderness season. Now, it is important to see here that David entered into a wilderness season. As he is fleeing from Saul, he had to flee into the wilderness. There will come a time in your journey in ministry or the Christian walk that you go through a wilderness. Now you have to know that it is in the plans of God, and it is when you go through wildernesses that your faith is tested. When Israel came out of Egypt, they had to pass through a wilderness. And before they entered the promised land, they had to overcome the wilderness. Jesus, when he began his ministry, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. You also see that when Moses, before he was called by God, he went into a wilderness. And it is a wilderness that tested his faith and prepared him for his destiny and his calling. So God is going to prepare you. He's going to set you apart, and he's going to mold you in the wilderness. And this was the time for David to be molded in the wilderness. So as a believer, as someone who is called of God, know that a wilderness comes not to break you, but to prepare you for your destiny. Number two, do not burn bridges. You will need them in the future. That's a very important lesson. Now, whatever bridge, whatever relationship you have, make sure you keep it well, because in the future you might need it. Look at David here. He goes to the king of Moab. Now, you know that in the lineage of David, there was Ruth, who was from Moab. And it is this relationship in his family that he calls upon now when he needs his father and mother to be protected and to be safeguarded from Saul. So he goes to the king of Moab and he seeks refuge for his parents. Now, if David did not keep a good account with the king of Moab, if he had bent that bridge, you would not have been able to secure a place for his father and mother to have refuge. So in life, never be one who is quick to destroy relationships and burn bridges, because you don't know tomorrow you need that same bridge for you to be able to cross. Hallelujah. Now, number three, embrace people that are going through difficult times. That's very important. Many times we have friends, we have relatives, we have saints, and when they go through difficult times, we are not ready to embrace them. We want to embrace people when they are going through good times and they are being blessed and it is celebration. But now you see David here at the cave of Adullam. The men that I've called the 3D men came to him. They were in distress. They were in debt. They were being chased by debt collectors. They were discontented. And these are the men that gather around David. And David did not chase them away. He did not say, no, I don't need such kind of people. You wear me down. But the Bible says he became captain over them. And whenever you start out in ministry, especially, the people that are come to gather around you are not men of stature. They are not men of wealth. They are not men of much money or wisdom. But usually it is those that are in crisis. It is those that are in pain. It is those that are in difficulty that come and gather around you. And it is you, if you are wise, to be able to embrace these people at their lowest, because they will stand with you when you offer to lead and to guide them and to help them out of their distress, out of their debt, and out of their discontentedness. Because you see later in the study that these men that were so low and were rejected in society became the mighty men of David. So be ready to embrace people. People do not come fully processed. They come with their baggage. They come with their problems. But as a leader, as a pastor, be ready to help people at their lowest point. Hallelujah. Lesson number four, refuse to fight battles that are not yours. Many times we make that mistake to make enemies with people because they are enemies with someone else. Now, here you see the priests being the men, the servants of Saul, being instructed by Saul to kill the priest. But these men were wise enough to say, no, this is not a battle we are going to take on. We are not going to kill the priests of God. And they refused the order from the king, who is King Saul, who had become barbaric in his request. So you must understand that in life, there are certain battles that are not yours to fight. You just have to leave or watch and not do anything, or go to another place, for it is not for you to fight that battle. It is not yours. It does not belong to you, because if you get into that battle, it is going to destroy you and it is going to destroy your family. May God give you discernment. May God give you revelation. May God give you insight to know the battles that are yours and the battles that you need to avoid in the name of Jesus. Lastly, help God's servants when God's servants need help. Very important. David was able to help Abiathar the priest and gave him refuge. And this is one of the things that David is blessed, because he knew how to help the servants of God. Because of this, later on, it is these priests that help him and stand with him as servants of God. So it is important that you help servants of God. Whenever there's a need, rise to the occasion and be someone who is able to offer refuge, refuge to the servants of God. That's very important. And you see David here, the heart of David, he takes in Abiathar the priest and says, you'll be under my cover, you'll be under my protection. I will not allow you to be killed by this barbaric king. And he helps. So there is a blessing of helping and assisting the servants of God. And that blessing came upon David because he assisted the servant of God in his distress. I remember some time hearing Baba Guti sharing a testimony that he helped a certain man of God who was from a certain church, who was in distress, who was in trouble, and he took care of him. And he says that man prayed for him and says, may God bless you with long life and prosper you. Now, if you know anything about Baba Guti, he has been blessed with long life, celebrating 98 years this year in good health, strength, still sharing and preaching. Why? Because he helped a servant of God in his time of need. May you also in time help servants of God in their time of need. Hallelujah. Let us pray as we conclude this lesson today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I pray, God, for the listeners, that God, you may give them wisdom, you may give them revelation, that God, as they go through a wilderness season, they may understand it is not there to destroy them, but to build them up and to prepare them for their destiny. Give them wisdom not to burn bridges. Give them wisdom to embrace people that need help and that need to be assisted towards their destiny. Give them wisdom to know which battles to fight. Give them the grace. Give them, oh God, the heart, the generosity to stand with men and women of God and to help them in their time of need. We thank you, Father, and I pray that the word may empower and equip your children for their destiny. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for this lesson. Now we'll be moving on to lesson number 2 of chapter number 3 as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 23, and we continue to see David in the wilderness and their lessons to learn there. So tune in next week as we continue with the study of David. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.